الرحمن الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى إطرته الطيبين الطاهرين أما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وللہ علی الناس حج البیت من استطاع الیہ سبیلا صلوات بر محمد و آل محمد. At the request of your convener today, we will inshallah look at the institution of Hajj. And for those who are going to Hajj, obviously such a reminder is one of the many similar reminders they will get. Alhamdulillah, these days, during the course of the Hajj, we are blessed that we receive much guidance in terms of not only the aspects of the practical aspects of the journey, not only the fiqh aspects, but also increasingly so, alaykum salam, increasingly so the spiritual aspects. And this is perhaps the most important part of the Hajj journey. As far as the practical aspects go, alhamdulillah, these days, if you look at the ahadith and you look at the riwayat, you see that in the olden days, Hajj was indeed something unusual. Perhaps from one village or one town, handful of people used to go. Especially the further away you were from the Middle East, to be Haji was something actually quite rare and unusual. And a large part of the preparation of the Haji or the intending Haji was the worry about the journey itself. I remember when I spoke with Marhum Habib Walji, as many of you know, this was a man for 50 years went to Hajj, alhamdulillah, year on year. And I asked him that, what are your early memories of Hajj and the journey there? And he said to me that from East Africa, we would actually, the journey would be made on the backs of donkeys for part of the time, on a ship for part of the time, walking on part of the time, and on camels for part of the time in the early days. And that is how the whole journey there and back may well take the better part of the year, 6-7 months, you see. And so in those days, that was the paramount worry. Will we get there? Will we come back? Nowadays, of course, we get there in a day or in a few hours. So all that worry has been taken away. And it really affords us better opportunity to look at some other aspects of Hajj. Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, has a beautiful hadith on this topic, and this one is reproduced both in Misbah al-Sharia, which many aspects of it are probably attributable to Imam, perhaps not the whole of it, although it is called, it is attributed generally all of it to Imam, but some of it may not be his work or his sayings, but nonetheless, and it's available in English, translated as Lantern of the Path. Its 21st chapter is Imam's comments about Hajj. And the same hadith with some variations has been produced by Mullah Mohsin Faiz in Mahajjat al-Bayda, his recension of the work of Ghazali. Now, in that hadith, Imam actually makes a couple of points that are worthy of thinking about, you know, for those intending Hujjaj. The first is, he says that amongst all the ibadat, you will see that there is only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes or has a mansoob, nisbah towards himself. All the other ibadah, he tells you do this, aqimus salat for example, establish prayer, give zakat, kutiba alaykumus siyam for example, and so on. But for this particular act, Hajj, he says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ. this Hajj that people do is for Allah only. So that is the first thing that Imam wants to draw your attention to, that this particular act, God has somehow raised it above the other acts. The second, so Imam alayhi salam says that he classifies or he enumerates 10 stages for the pilgrim, for a successful pilgrim. And the first stage amongst that, he says, is that a pilgrim who intends to go must do research and find out about the importance of Hajj in the eyes of Allah. So that is his first step. This is a man perhaps who is not intending to, who has not made a definite decision. But he needs to do his research. He needs to do his homework. And that doesn't mean perhaps following Mustafa and saying, how much will Hajj be this year and when are the dates? No, that is not the research. That, alhamdulillah, as I said to you, we are so fortunate. We live in the time of, you know, instant everything. We live in the time of instant spaghetti and instant coffee and sliced bread and 5 hours and we will be in Medina. We live in these times. So, research on the importance that Allah has placed on Hajj. If you look, there are many, many things that are unique about Hajj. The first thing is, many of the a'mal that Allah prescribes can be done in isolation, alone. A man can sit alone and he can pray. A man can be totally alone or nobody else knows and he is fasting. As Sheikh Shomali said, for one or two of you who are dozing a bit, I don't know why, I have just started. He said that, you know, about that a man was praying and somebody came and said, MashaAllah, how well he is praying. So this man heard it, you know, and he says, look at how well he's praying. So the man says, I don't want to say, but I'm fasting also. So these things we can do, but Hajj, Allah for some reason wants it collectively. It's very important to think about this, that there is a collective aspect to Hajj. Tawaf, with all its difficulties, with all its pushing and shoving, no matter how well intentioned you get there, I don't know of a single person who has not lost his cool at one point or other in the tawaf. Because just as you are saying, Ya Allah, Rabbana, atina fid dunya, some lout comes and kicks you from the back. You know, even if you have got the most even temperament, it will test you. But yet Allah wants us to do it in jama'ah. It is something to think about. You know, even sitting here when you watch on the television, all the Muslims there going into sajda together or into ruku together, it must stir us that the Muslims indeed Allah has made us into a powerful force. I mean, the amount and number of Muslims, you know, Prophet peace be upon him started from a small town. And when people came to, when he conquered Makkah and he did Umrah for the first time, Jabir says, the Prophet said something wondrous. And I remember, I didn't say anything to him, but I thought, how can he say these things? Because he said, he stood up and he said, this is Rukne Yamani. This is Rukne Iraqi. This is this. And then he said, this will be the miqat of the Hujjaj who will come from Yemen. And Jabir says, in those days there was no Muslim in Yemen. Yalamlam, it's called a mountain. He said, this is the miqat for those who will come from the east, from the northeast, from Iraq. And Jabir says, in those days there was no Muslim in Iraq. Today that vision of the Prophet, what he knew from what he had been promised. Today Muslims come from every corner of the globe. Prophet peace be upon him is barakah, this is. And something to actually marvel at and think about. That Hajj is a collective phenomenon. Do not go for Hajj and sit with your own family and come back and say you have done Hajj. You have not met one mu'min who is someone you didn't know. You see, so think about it, do some research about it, imagine that you are on the journey, plan for it. This is the first thing Imam says. And he says that when you plan for it in this manner, then you need, the second stage is you need to begin to yearn for it. You need to really now feel in your heart, after this I have got to go. I want to be in that sacred place. And that yearning inside makes you turn to Allah and say, Allah, clear the obstacles. Make it possible. Because I truly want to meet you there. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that, Allahumma salli ala, that during the year, we become busy, we become involved in many things. Some of them are problems which we encounter, we try to deal with. The humdrum of life, as it were, he was describing. And then he said, do you not notice how Allah invites you? There is an ayat in Surah Az-Zariyat where Allah says, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Escape to Allah. Farar is when you run away. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run away, but to Allah. Escape to Him. And Imam said, this means Hajj. Allah says, come to me. You have had a rough year. Leave it all. Run to me. Come to me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Hadith al-Qudsi says, that for that one of my servants who I have not left in need, that means I have given him wealth, if once in 3 years he does not come to meet me at my house, then he has committed injustice to me. فَظَلَمَنِي. That means if I have made you able to go, and you don't go for Hajj once every 3 years to meet with him. It's not enough just to say, I have done my wajib Hajj. You see the immense taqid emphasis on this in the hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, come. So when man begins to yearn, Imam says that is the second stage. And really, he must inculcate in himself an excitement, an anticipation to be there. You see, sometimes you will talk to people and they are changed after Hajj. Their path had strayed a bit. Not that they had stopped becoming Muslim. But they had lost focus. Hajj changes them. Yes? And you find some people that you look at them and you encourage them to go for Hajj, but they come back and they are the same. They haven't changed. And you wonder how it could have been that they could have been in those sacred lands and nothing changed in them. The reason for this is that they did not accomplish these steps. Neither was there a yearning in their heart, nor was there any pre-planning on their behalf. They went, they did what they were supposed to do, they lived pretty much their own life, they made new friends, okay, and had a nice social time and came back. Their own memoirs of the Hajj would be perhaps how dusty it was and how hot it was and how they were inconvenienced here and there. That is what they brought back. Okay? And, you know, it is a shame. This is a great experience for many people, of course. It is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. We have to take stock of how fortunate we are living in the West, earning in the West. I remember a few years ago, there was a stampede, as you know, in Mina, and many people died. Amongst them, the Indonesians died a lot. And I remember the following year, or a couple of years later, I was in Hajj, and there happened to be an Indonesian person in the mosque. So I spoke with him in Masjid al-Haram, and I said, you know, what happened? We didn't know each other, salamu alaykum wa alaykum salam. And we started talking, he could speak English, and we started to talk. I said to him, you know, what happened? He said to me, you know what happened? The year before, or 2 years before, our currency devaluated so drastically, the Indonesian currency. He says it was as if Hajj became 5 times more expensive. Can you imagine, for example, perhaps you are paying 2,000 to 2,500 pounds. Suppose you are having to pay 12,500 pounds. It's not in everybody's capacity to make that journey. So he said what happened was that only the older people, the more retired people, the people who had got some wealth, they were able to come. And our volunteer corps, who used to attend normally, could not afford it. So we were not able to send as many young volunteers as we normally would, who would look after our people in places like Mina. And so what happened was when there was a surge of the crowd, at the stoning of Shayateen, these old people had not got many protectors around them and they were crushed. So we don't appreciate sometimes how easy it is for us to go from here. Not only in terms of distance, but in terms of how we earn. And because of that, sometimes we don't take it that important. We perhaps don't see it as the great blessing that we have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, then Imam alayhi salam says that after you have done these two things, once now you are yearning for them, then he says, it was obviously he was addressing to people in his time, he says, then you arrange the journey. Arrange for the journey. Arrange now that you are going. Decide that you are going. Make a decision and resolve that I am going. A man comes to Imam Sadiq salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi and says to him, that Yabna Rasulullah, I will go, I have resolved to go to Hajj every year. So Imam says to him, truly, you have really decided? He says, yes. Imam said, then you must know this, that just because of that decision, you will never see poverty in your life. You will never see poverty. And Imam says that there are four gifts that a man gets when he is the guest of Allah. The least that everyone who comes there, whether his niyyah is there or not, the least he gets is Allah gives him back during the course of the year the money he spent for coming to see him. That is the least he gives. The most is there are many things. Okay? So now, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to a person who said to him that I am going to Hajj. Imam said, have you prepared? He says, yes, I have got the animal, the horse, and I have prepared. Imam says, no. Have you prepared to meet with Allah? So he says, Yabna Rasulullah, train me, teach me. He said that you have to make sure that you are going to Hajj in a way that you have no debt, that you have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. I remember we have a great alim in Qom, may Allah prolong his life, his name is Allama Hassan Zadeh Amuli. You may have heard of him. He's a great mystic and a great scholar. And somebody came to him once and said to him that we want to go for Hajj. Now, Allama Hassan Zadeh, I have met with him, with Abbas Virji and those friends of ours who have heard the story about how he talked with us. And we're very fortunate to get, because he's very old now, and to get him, the way we managed to sort of have a little meeting with him is very unusual. But he speaks in a manner that is not normal. Sometimes he says something to you. It is full of wisdom, but you may not understand it, or you may feel that, why has he said this? For example, I remember when we met him, we asked him, how are you? Because we were stunned to have him right in front of us, because we turned and he was there. So the first thing that came to our mind was, Hal shuma khube, are you well? So he said, who are you to ask me, am I well? Are you doctors? So that we got stunned, and he said like this. Then he himself smiled. He said, I am well. So we said to him, we are going for Hajj. So he says, Talabi don't go for Hajj. Students study in Hausa. They don't go for Hajj like you two. And then again we were stunned. Again he smiled. So he is like this. So one Talabi came to him once and said to him, give me some advice. I am going for Hajj. You know what Agha said to him? He turned to him and said, get lost, don't come back. So when he said to him, get lost, don't come back, the man was, he said, I've caught the old man at a bad time. And he went away. Later on, he spoke with one of the students and said, when you become a lama like this, I know that you are very busy, but you shouldn't be impolite to people. He was talking to one of the students of Allama Hassan Zadeh. So the student said to him, Agha is one of the most polite people. His adab is very high, very great. He says, no, he told me like this. So the man smiled. He said, okay. There is a hadith, and this is the hadith of Imam Sadiq salawatullahi wasalam alayhi. Says, the true haji or the true pilgrim is the one who, when he leaves his homeland going towards Makkah, he has also decided that his behavior is such as if he doesn't want to return. He is going to God. And he has solved things in such a way, or closed matters in such a way back home, that if he was not to return, aside from the fact that obviously he would be missed, there wouldn't be any outstanding matters. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, when you go for Hajj, go, get lost, don't come back. This is the hadith. Now, Lama Asamzadeh gave this hadith to this man, saying to him, go, get lost, don't come back. But the man took it. You know, he didn't understand what he was being told. And sometimes this is the way, you know, we judge the ulama on our scale. You see, which is very low when we are trying to judge a great man by our standards. It doesn't always work. So Imam says to this man that pay your debts off. And he said, Hajj is a true play, manifestation of death. The way you are dressed, when you go, remember that you should leave everything behind in such a way that there is nothing left outstanding. Because it should remind you as you leave your home of another journey. Except on this journey you are on a horse. On that journey you will be in a coffin. When you leave your home for that. And Imam said to him, prepare for this journey which is uncertain. Because you may not go for Hajj. You have planned everything. The tickets are in your hand maybe, for example. You don't go. But that journey is certain. They will carry you off one day. Right? And he said, in this journey you have time to prepare. In that journey, you will have no time. When it happens, all matters which you have left open will be left open. All matters which are left unresolved that you have got in the back of your mind, that one day I will sort that out. One day there is that creditor, I will pay him. One day there is that matter to finish off. There is that mafi to one day there is that amal left on me. I will do it. That one day, what we have got it in writing, one day we don't have it in writing. Okay? And when it happens, there are many things undone. Many things unsaid. Many things unresolved. So Imam says to him, resolve all your matters before you go. As if you are not coming back. And play out those acts, because one day it will be true, really true. You will begin a journey for which there is no coming back. Okay? And then he said, amongst them is you ask forgiveness of Allah. Then Imam said to him, are you not ashamed? Are you not ashamed? You want to go to God? See, when you go to kings, you make sure that you are bathed and dressed in the best clothes. When you are going to the King of Kings, who can see your interior, you want to go dirty? You want to go polluted with your sins? You have no shame that you want to approach God with your sins on your back? He says, ask for forgiveness so that you are worthy of standing in front of Him in His house. So these are the prerequisites. These are the things that we need to be thinking about. These are the preparations. Without these things, the Hajj is not as sweet, as momentous an event in our lives. And the days will come, the days will go, and you'll be back. These are the preparations, inshallah. I don't want to speak for very long today. But this hadith, for those who are going to Hajj, inshallah, if you look at Misbah al-Sharia, Lantern of the Path, this particular book, I believe, is on the internet. Read it. For those who are not going to Hajj, also read Lantern of the Path. It has certain things which are from Imam, which are the secrets of actions. Okay. This particular action of Hajj is the king of actions. Within it is contained all the actions. Within Hajj, you have got Salat, haven't you? Within Hajj, you have got fasting, actually. For those who have read up on the fiqh of it, I know some of those who are going for Hajj have definitely read up on the fiqh of it. There is fasting in Hajj as penalties, for example, if you can't produce an animal, you can't find an animal on the day, then there is fasting. And if you cannot, or if you shave your head or so earlier on, there is a penalty of fasting. And there are several items in Hajj for which there is fasting. There is spending, zakat, isn't there? There is spending, which is, it involves spending in the path of Allah. There is struggle and jihad. There is amr bil ma'roof. There is tawalla, tabarra. There is everything. It is a composite action in which you will perform all these things, including tawalla, and we finish on that. One of the prime things, and maybe sometimes we don't consider it so important, is Hajj is a place where in your heart of hearts, at some point, expect to meet with your imam. If you go to Hajj not expecting to meet your imam, or not even thinking about meeting your imam, how are you going to meet your imam? On the other hand, if you go there knowing that there is a very clear hadith that there cannot be a Hajj, except that the wali of Allah is there. Otherwise, there is no Hajj. Whoever is the wali of Allah at that time has got to be there. Because the Hajj revolves around the wali. I don't want to go into that aspect today. But there are ample hints in the Quran. I just give you one or two. When Ibrahim alayhi salam, who is wali of Allah at his time, he gives the adhan for Hajj. He is told, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ لِلْحَجِّ. Announce amongst the man to come to Hajj. What will they do? يَعْتُوكَ. They will come to you. Why you? Because you are my wali at this time. Okay? You look at that verse carefully. Allah says that the haji comes to the wali, or expecting to see the wali. يَعْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ظَامِرٍ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجْهٍ عَمِيكٍ. Or for example, Prophet peace be upon him is told that this land of Makkah is holy and sacred. But its sacredness and its importance is intrinsically linked with the wali. It's a Quranic ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La uqsimu bihadha al-balad, doesn't he, in the Quran? I swear by this city. Why? وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ. Because you are an inhabitant of this city. If you were not there, if the wali of Allah is not in the city is just sand. But because, وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ, because you live here, because you are to do with Makkah, it is holy. The wali makes it holy, not that the city makes him holy. So one of the things that we have to keep in mind is this, what we call the didar of Imam, that Imam alayhi salam, inshaAllah, will be there. People have met with him many, many times. And of course, he is there to meet with the mu'mineen. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those people who are going for Hajj, may it turn out to be a rich and fruitful and life-changing experience, inshaAllah, for them. Those who are not going to Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them opportunity to go as soon as possible. Those who cannot go, may Allah change their circumstances that they can go. And those who can go anyway, inshallah, may Allah give them tawfiq to go the very next year, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.